How we doing today? Ooh, got wheels, we'll travel. Oh. Oh, how's everybody doing? Well, I'm glad to be here and see your beautiful faces. Tamara and I are due for a good week. We are going to head to Asheville. Little mom and daddy getaway while Gigi and Poppy take the kids. It's been about 8 years since we've had that kind of getaway, but yeah. Let's start with some prayer. How about that? I know we prayed a lot, but why not? Hold out your hands. Say, Dear Lord, bless the speaker. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I learned early on, you start with the antenna up and just ask, Lord, do you have anything for anybody? Young man, can I pray for you? Is that okay? Yeah, I don't know what your name is. Scripture God gave me for you is out of Psalm 68, verse 6, and it says, God sets the lonely in families. And I'm not saying you're like a lonely guy, but it's something that I battled a lot when I was younger too. And I just see the Lord calling you to friendship first to himself and then calling you to, I just see you in a group of friends. And I just feel like your purpose is going to be in that. In that, and out of that friendship, it's going to birth things that he wants to do for you. So, is that okay? I like the pirate honey bear on your shirt. There's a little mischief in you, and that's good. Always hold on to that. That's really good. Brother Wesley, where are you, sir? Hey. Oh, man. Who likes Brother Wesley? See, they all like you. I like your family. Like, there's a blessing on this family. I guess this row is the anointed row. The rest of y'all need to get saved or something. You know, when I saw you and I saw your hands on tickling the ivories and I saw like God's gospel flowing through you, through your hands. And I feel like he's saying, release the songs. So I feel like you've kind of had stirring about like songs and music and maybe some hesitancy because of shyness or things like that. But he's saying, step into it. It's time to release the song. So Lord, we bless that family in Jesus' name. Musical family, Lord. Y'all are like the Von Trapps. Love it. So yeah, we're glad to be here. God is been good to us. It's been an interesting season coming from California to Raleigh, and now we are settled in Tyrone, Georgia, which we like. We really like Georgia. We feel like we have found our spot. God has placed us in a community of believers and people. I've been going to this prayer meeting at Trillith Studios, which used to be Pinewood Studios, and it was bought by the Cathy family, who, you know, Chick-fil-A, they own the Chick-fil-A business, yeah. Maybe you've heard of it. Lines down the block and things like that. And the CEO, Dan Cathy, actually came and spoke at our little group meeting a couple weeks ago, and it was great to hear the journey that God has taken them through. And, you know, they're not open today. I always forget it, too. Mom's like, what do you want for lunch? I was like, can we get Chick-fil-A? And she's like, oh, it's closed. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're honoring God on Sunday. But he had some really cool things to say, and since they bought the studio, it is exploding and growing, and like film and TV happening down in Georgia. They're filming 3 Marvel shows. I've auditioned for 1 or 2 of them. I had to sign an NDA. It was like, don't tell anybody. I guess I just broke that, but I didn't get it, so it's all good. However, you know, I feel like you guys have been on this journey with me. I think last time I was here, I was talking about, I know God's going to open a door for me, and he did. And for those of you who didn't hear, like I was on Dynasty 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah. My role was well-dressed man, which, you know, I keep getting these roles for like lawyer, agent, federal agent, you know, and I'm like, okay, I guess that's my type and that's cool. I got no problem with it. Tom Cruise, yeah, I'll take that all day, man. So rocking the gray, people are like, the gray's working. I'm like, yes, it is. All right, we'll go with that. Yeah, in Dynasty, it's a terrible show. I don't recommend it. We were like going to watch like a clip of like, you know, a trailer with the kids in the room, and we literally were like, oh my gosh. We stopped it. It got racy like that. Thankfully, I didn't get into it like anything racy. It was just I stepped into the room, I delivered some lines, and I'm out. And like, we turned to each other after that, and we were like, do you want to keep watching this? We're like, no, let's turn it off. But I'm grateful. It was huge for me. It's been a long, 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 long journey to get to that place, and fraught with doubt and fear and everything. And I kind of want to segue into my word from that point. By the way, I want to acknowledge my beautiful wife, Tamara. We just passed 13 years. High five. And it actually can get better, you know. It can get really good, marriage I'm speaking of. So for those of you who want to be married, those of you who are married, you know, we started off our marriage. I remember we were engaged, and we walked into a church, and someone announced, oh, they're engaged, blah, blah. And this lady just walks up, and she's like, it's really hard. And my answer was like, I bet it is being married to you. Got to be careful who you say these things to. This little mouth got me in trouble in school, but now they ask me to speak. I've also reached the age where I need these, like, to even read menus in restaurants now. Isn't that fun? Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. I asked the Lord, I'm like, God, what do you want to share, you know, with River of Life? And how many know God can sometimes be the master of subtlety? And I just heard one word, preparation, preparation, preparation. It's often an overlooked word in our society. I feel like we have an expectation that everything's just going to come to us because we live in a world where everything is built out of convenience, right? Fast food, even ads now. Do you know, like, when you're watching an ad on YouTube or something and you're like waiting for that 5, 4, 3, 2, skip it! You know, it's pretty cool because when I was a kid, we just had to sit through ads and actually, you know, go through that. But preparation, I believe, is on the heart of God with whatever he's going to do. By the way, I love what's going on here. You. I love it. I know, I just learned some because we have an employee who is deaf, so.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. I liked during the worship some of the motions you were doing, like, so the kick down the door. I'm going to use that. Well, I have used it, but. Come on! I just like this. If you see me walking down the street, it's like, Lord's touching me. Preparation. How many of you have ever asked God, like, what is my role to play? What is my purpose? What are you doing in my life? I think it's something we ask God on the regular. Like, we especially want to know, what is my to-do in this? Because it feels like, God, you're doing nothing! But I actually believe that God laid it out clear, and there's a scripture that I want to share. There it is. It's already up there. The preparations, this helps so I don't have to use my glass. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So we never have to wonder again, God, what is my part to do if you can't sense God doing something in your life in a particular season that you're in, which we all find ourselves in times where we feel like, God, what are you doing? you seem to be silent. I'm not getting a word. The prophet ain't noticing me. I'm just going to church. I'm living in my life, and I'm wondering what's going on, because I have dreams, I have visions, I have had words in the past, and I want to know, what are you doing now? What is our job? Repeat after me. The preparations of the heart belong to man. That's your job. In this time, in your season, when you're waiting for God to fulfill things, your job is preparation. And I feel like there are three preparations that God laid on my heart that I want to take us through. And the first one is right there, the preparations of the heart. Okay? So now that we have a clear declaration of what is ours and what is His, how do we prepare our heart? It comes with the idea that there is a responsibility that is ours for managing this thing. Proverbs even says, you know, of all things, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Touch somebody and say, you got issues. Issues of the heart. We were designed to live out of our heart. But the problem is, through life, through hurt, through pain, through things like this. By the way, I like this rug. Good job, Ray Ray. It looks good. Y'all managed to wash out the body outline. That was great. Yeah. Sorry, I just have a dark sense of humor, guys. You know, everybody thinks. Yeah. Anyway, our heart can be affected, and it causes us to, instead of guarding our heart, to shut down our heart. And we find ourselves living kind of from a defensive place rather than an open place that God wants us to. Because, I don't know about you, whose heart has been hurt before? Whose heart has been hurt in church before? Whose heart has been hurt by family members before? Whose heart has been hurt by friends before? It's all of us, right? And so our heart becomes this focal point where it's like, I don't want to let anybody in, including God sometimes, because I'm afraid that God is going to disappoint me. Anybody? Bueller? Ever been there? But God clearly states the preparations of the heart belong to man. The answer of the tongue, the ultimate answer, is from God. And I believe God is, in many times, waiting to answer us until He feels like our hearts are truly prepared for what He wants to do in us. Yeah. Can you receive that? Does that make sense? Okay. So, Mark 4, especially verse 13, I'm gonna read it and paraphrase it for you real quick. But a lot of you all know this, Mark 4. The parable of the sower. And Jesus said, listen, a sower went out to sow seed. As he was sowing, some seeds fell by the road. Birds ate it up. Seed fell by the rocks. There wasn't much soil. And immediately sprang up and had no depth. So it was vamos. So the plant was scorched, and it had no root. It dried and withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Other seed fell into good soil. And as the plants grew, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 times. And the scripture that really stood out to me is verse 13 right here. No, that's not Mark 13. I'll read verse 13, though. That's another proverb, I think. Verse 13 says this. Then he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand and grasp the meaning of all the other parables? So there seemed to be, Jesus was saying, all the other things in the Bible depend on your concept of understanding this kingdom principle. Okay? What is he talking about? He's talking about seeds. Seeds that fall into soil, right? I believe the soil that he was talking about is the soil of our heart. okay? And the conditions of our heart, sometimes our heart is rocky, right? And it can't receive and grow the word that God is releasing. And he even said in this that the seed is the word of God, okay? And I believe often that the answers that we're seeking God for come to us in seed form. And we don't always recognize it. How many seed eaters do we have here? Sunflower seeds? Yeah, I'm allergic to them. They make me sick. I discovered it when I was in Little League. And all the other kids, you know, they're chewing them. Little pile right there. I'm like, oh, you know, peer pressure. Like, give me some sunflower seeds. I start doing it. And then later I'm like, throwing up on the bench and things like that. So the problem is sometimes seed lands in our lap and we want to eat it. We want to eat it when the seed of God is meant to be planted and to grow and produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. Because God's kingdom works. This is what he's saying. Verse 13, right? All the other parables depend on your understanding of this kingdom principle that God works through seed faith. Seed faith. The Greek word, actually, for seed in God's word that it was used is sperma. Sperma. So the actual sperma of God comes into our hearts and causes life to be grown. We can almost become pregnant with the dreams and plans of God. But take heed so that we understand our responsibility in this is to not be that rocky soil. To not be that soil that is so shallow that nothing can grow into it. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard to not be so concerned with the affairs of the world and the things around us. We just went through a season, you know, the COVID season. I was unemployed for a year and a half. A year and a half. All I can say is God's grace was on us to the degree that I can't explain it logically, but our net worth actually increased in this time. I know. And I can't explain it other than, yes, we were on unemployment, things like that, and that was fine for a season. I know I, as a man, was just like struggling. I need something to do, right? Yet, for about 4 or 5 years before that, I was praying and asking God, and I tell Tamara, Lord, I need a sabbatical. I'd always heard of the sabbatical, and I'm like, that sounds great, right? Well, we actually came to a season, and the Lord, I felt, was just like saying, you asked for a sabbatical, here it is. Enjoy, take it easy. You're saying, Charlie, does God talk to you sarcastically like that? Sometimes, yeah, because I speak the language of sarcasm. So I understand that, and he speaks to me on my level. My wife had to learn the language of sarcasm. It's one of the things we've worked through. She's getting it. She gave me some sarcastic answer the other day, and I was just like, that's good. Yeah. Come on, girl. Keep that up. Used to be I would say something. She'd be like, don't talk to me that way. I'm like, but it was funny. No. Sarcasm's also not good for children, in case you didn't know that. But anyway, the answer from God often comes in seed form. We want the now God moments. And I'm not saying God doesn't give us now moments, right? That scripture is often spoken, a little taken out of faith or context, but you know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, now, now. We want it now. But God has revealed himself very clearly to be a farmer. Even in Genesis, it said, until the end of the age, the time of seed time and harvest will not end. Seed time and harvest. So what we have to decipher in these seasons are, God, what is the condition of my heart? Is it rocky? Is it shallow? Are there thorns in my life that are choking the word of God from doing what needs to be done? I got to a place where I was like saying, Lord, I don't even know how to like deal with my own heart, right? I can't even describe, but what I do is I open my door to you, I let you in, and I say, if there's anything that needs to be dealt with or come out, please show me. And that's all we have to do. It's really that simple. Like, we don't have to beg God. If you ask him, he's going to show you, I promise. It's not always going to be fun either, but the things that come after will be fun. God is a farmer. Proverbs 16:13, and this is the scripture that, yeah, there it is. Commit your works to the Lord, submit and trust to him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to his will and guidance. So for me, the journey of being like a storyteller, an actor, a filmmaker, things like that, is early on when I felt, I was at a mission trip in Ukraine when God spoke to me about acting. And it was like, oh, yes, that's it. So in my mind at the time, it was like, God's going to make me, you know, a famous movie star or something, and then I will show his glory, right, through all the great things that I do. He's not interested in what we think we can do for him, okay? He's interested in what he wants to do for us. So it's like I had to get to a place where I completely surrendered everything, and I kind of spoke on this last time I was here, but I remember I was wanting to get on a show so bad, and I finally managed to finagle an audition for this show. It's called Bosch, if you haven't seen it. It's on Amazon. It's a really good show. A little gritty, but really good show. We like those gritty cop type of detective shows. I finally got in on the audition room. Long story short, I didn't get it, and we had just been hitting a wall in Los Angeles, and what was really happening is like God was kind of pulling our roots slowly out, right? And that's the thing about the processes of God is like, he's not going to force us, but sometimes we can miss him if we don't recognize the seasons of change that he's actually trying to implement in our life, okay? And we're like, the answer, Lord, the answer, I want the answer. And he's like, the preparation, the preparation, the preparation. Where is your heart? She was ready to go. I remember we had miraculously lost several apartments that we really wanted. And those of you who've never lived in New York or LA or one of these cities, like apartment finding is just like, you can go to like an open house apartment, there'll be like 50 people there and stuff like that. So like the competition's high. But I remember we had this like dream apartment in Sierra Madre, beautiful little mountain town right on the edge of LA County. A lot of bears, things like that. Yeah. So I was like, yeah. The guy who literally owns the building's walking us through, and he's like, we were already renting another one from him. He's like, it's yours. And we're like, oh, there's a washer and dryer in it, and blah, 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 a little outdoor space. We're going to be going. Blah, blah, blah. I call him that afternoon. I'm like, I'm waiting for the paperwork. You said you were going to send it. Oh, we gave it away to somebody else. We were so devastated and angry at God, at the landlord, at everybody. And this happened 3 times? Okay, so then we were like, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me? You know, knock, knock. Who's there? God, you're not getting the picture. You're not getting the message. So all this is happening around us. I go to this audition for Bosch. I don't get it, right? And a couple weeks later, we see the guy who did it, and he was this older guy. He was totally different type. It was never intended for me. But I came to a place where I was at the end of myself, and I said, Lord, I give it up. I give up this acting desire that I felt you called me to. Take it away. Take it away. I surrender. So that's what this is saying. Commit your works to the Lord. Submit and trust them to him. We think we know best for ourselves. We do not know best for ourselves. We do not. And we are so afraid to give up things and let him be the Lord when that's all he wants to be. And we were talking about it on the golf course yesterday. By the way, who won? The minute we try to take control of something, God just backs off. But the opposite happens. And this is another kingdom principle. When we surrender something to him. And I would put to you that surrender is almost like taking the seed and putting it in the ground. And the ground is our heart. And the Bible also says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, nothing can grow out of it. It's resurrection life. It is the process of resurrection life. So daily, and I mean daily now for the last, since we were in LA at that moment, all I can say is something lifted off of me when I said, I give it up, I surrender to you, your kingdom come, your will be done. And like a few days later, I was like, you want to leave LA, don't you? And I was like, I feel like we're supposed to leave, and I don't know why. But now that my acting career is over, you know, I was like, all right, let's go. Let's go. And thank God, because we left November 2019, right before the lockdown and stuff happened. Because LA, from all my friends that I spoke to, was not the place to be during the lockdown, because they were really locked down. But all I can say is this journey of surrender has taken us to this place where God did finally open the door to things that I had dreamt and believed for the longest time. When we came here and we were living with the parents, like, there was a little tinge of that dream still alive in me. But my mind was like, I don't know how you're going to ever do that, God. So I'm just going to just keep surrendering. And daily surrender has led me to this place. And then what did he do? We go to Georgia. I have had more auditions than I never had auditions like this in LA, ever. And I'm in Georgia. We were living in Villa Rica, Georgia, on 5 acres. 5 acres that cost 50% less than the two-bedroom apartment we were living in Pasadena. And it was just mind-boggling. Tyler Perry, Marvel, Stranger Things, you know, all these shows and things like that. And it just showed me that when we try to dictate to God what he should be doing, we can miss it. When we allowed his seed to grow in us and to birth in us. So the preparations of the heart belong to us. Okay? The picture of surrender that I've always loved is out of 1 Samuel 18, and it's Jonathan and David. And I'm just going to paraphrase it, but Jonathan had the right over David to be king. Even though David was anointed king, Jonathan was of the lineage of Saul, right? And he could have mustered an army. He could have fought David on this. And the Bible said that God joined their hearts together like brothers, and they loved each other. And this act, stunning act of surrender that Jonathan did, it said he took off his armor. He took off his shield and he laid him down, his sword, to David. And it was a prophetic act to say, I will never fight you. I recognize that God, his authority is on your life. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants to take us to take off our armor and lay it down before Jesus. Yeah. And say, you are the king. I am not the king of my own life. It is you, Lord, and I surrender to you. You know, and what about desire, Charlie? I have this desire. And Psalm, 37 says, he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? Yes, true. Yes, true. Yes, true. Where in so much as our desires line up with his desires. It's not just a blank check saying, your desires can be whatever you want, because a lot of people have screwed up desires, don't they? And even our desires can become idols, where we think that we're going to tell God, well, this is my desire, so give it to me. Right? You said in your word, blah, blah, blah. Taken out of context. The context is actually in James 4, and I believe we have that scripture. Yeah. A man plans his... Oh. No, that's not James. We'll fix. That's all right. I gave it to Diane last minute, so I could have helped her out a little. That's my fault. James 4, I will read it to you, verse 3 first. You ask God for something, you don't receive it because you ask with wrong motives, out of selfishness, or with an unrighteous agenda. Ouch! So that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your hedonistic desires. And then verse 13 through 15 says, here it is. Come now and pay attention to this. You who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on business, make a profit. Yet you do not know the least thing about what will happen in your life tomorrow. What is secure in your life? You're merely a vapor, a puff of smoke, or a wisp of steam from a cooking pot that is visible for a little while and then vanishes into the air. Instead, you ought to say this. If the Lord wills. Touch somebody and say, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we'll do this and we'll do that. But as it is, you boast vainly in your pretension and arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him, it is sin. James was not subtle. Hope deferred. Let's talk about that for a little. Because often our desires are so deeply plugged into our hearts. And this is where we risk feeling alienated from God. Like, God, do you care about me? Do you care about my desires? I've played this card with God before. I know what I'm talking about. Are you mad at me? Do you love me? Do we really think we can manipulate God? My kids have played that on me. It's like amazing. They don't go to school to learn how to do that. They just know. It's crazy. Zoe knew how to throw a punch. Nobody, we didn't have a lesson. She just at 1.5 could ball up and we're like, oh my. We know how to play certain games, don't we? So what about hope deferred? Because we know the scripture that says hope deferred makes us sick. But when it comes, it's a tree of life. And that's true. But what is our hope in? Is our hope in Jesus, number one? We are not our desires. Our desires can be a part of the plan of God. And so, quite simply, what I've learned to pray is this. God, I surrender. Let my desires... Because the Bible says we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Every part of us. What if our desires... Oh, hi. What if our desires are like these carriers for his desires, and that he can fill us to the point that our desires are in sync with his desires? Now, he's given you dreams and things like that because he wants to fulfill them, but he doesn't want to fulfill them when you and I are taking the reins from him. On the other side of the coin, we can have a tendency to shut our hearts down, like I was talking earlier. We can do it a couple of ways. We can do it where we almost lean into like a Calvinistic theology. Well, God's in charge and I don't have to do anything, right? He's already decided. But then that takes away kind of the whole thing that we were talking about earlier. Like, our job is to prepare our heart and to be obedient to him. Right. We also can kind of lean into a reductionist point of view where it's like, I don't have to do anything. Wait on the Lord, brother. Just wait on the Lord. What if waiting is preparing? Yeah. There's many different ways to take that scripture. It is not meant passively, as it has been wrongly interpreted over the years. We don't just sit down with our arms crossed. Well, I'm waiting on you, God. No, you do what you know to do in the time that God has given you. And if it's preparation, great. If it's something else, then do that thing. What if waiting is like, how can I wait on you, sir? How can I serve you, Lord? Right? But I really think in this context, waiting can be a time of great preparation. Yeah. So that when we are prepared, God can act in our life. The other scripture, Ezekiel 22:30. Do we got that one up? Oh, yeah. Good. We got that one. It's good. Thanks, Matt. Doing great, by the way. Everybody say, good job, Matt. Good job, man. Okay. I search for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap. We've heard that term, standing in the gap. I feel like the gap for a lot of us is that period of time between God's word and the fulfillment of it. Standing in the gap, there's almost this tension between what we feel God calling us and then waiting for him to fulfill it. This is the time in our walk that we have to be very careful not to shut our hearts down, is the gap seasons, right? The time where we're waiting, God, where is the fulfillment for what you've called me to do? Stand in the gap before me for the sake of the land, that I would not destroy it, but I found no one, not even one. So apparently, people who are willing to stand in gaps are rare. Right. That time for me of unemployment, of not knowing direction, this COVID shutdown, living on a farm in Georgia, not knowing what God has, was a gap period of our life. And we just decided we're going to seek the Lord in this time. We're not going to dictate to God what the outcome is. Rather, I'm daily going to say, Lord, I surrender. I submit to you. Here's my desires. Fill them. If you have, can you share your blueprint with me? Download it into me and give me a wisdom to understand it and walk it out. And that's all we can do. That is the preparation of our heart. If there's anything, Lord, if there's any unclean way in me, like the psalmist said, search my heart and know me. And lead me in the path everlasting. So that's the first preparation, the preparation of the heart. How are we doing on time, Dad? Woohoo! Is that okay? Is everybody feeling this? Is it all right? Okay. All right. The second preparation, prepare for war. Prepare for war. You can show that little cartoon thingy if you got it. When I grew up in church, we used to sing a song called Gird Up Your Loins. Yeah, it's a terrible song. And it went like this, gird up your loins, prepare for the battle. For surely, and people used to sing it like that, gird up your loins. I have to think that God just looks down and sometimes he's like, okay, like we used to sing, blow the trumpet in Zion. Anybody remember that? Slightly alarmist song. Blow the trumpet in Zion. But this song, I used to be like, gird up your loins. Like, especially when I learned what loins are. I'm like, what are they talking about, man? Gird up your loins. This cartoon I found is very cool. Because it's like, how to gird up your loins, the art of manliness. So people back in the day used to wear tunics and flowy kind of clothes, right? Not very conducive to running in a battle, if you didn't know. They didn't have like those, you know, Lululemon flex pants and things like that. Not that I wear those, or not that there's anything wrong with that, but I like a little spandex in my jeans, you know, just helps at lunch. You don't have to undo the top button anymore. It's like, what? But this is how they would gird up their loins. They'd gather it up. They'd tie it up so that what's going to happen? I'm not going to trip up when I'm going into battle. Right? Our loins are like one of our most vulnerable places, not to get bathroomy or things like that, but it's also the place where reproduction happens. But think about it in terms of the loins of our spirit, the place in us where we can get most tripped up, right? Some people live out of their loins. They've never learned to gird up and protect the thing that God has given them. Battle. The 80s, and where the song, you know, kind of was originated, I think it was like 70s, 80s. People were all about warfare, right, back then. They used to talk a lot about warfare. They used to talk a lot about demons and things like that. But we've stopped talking about it, and we've kind of thrown away the baby with the bathwater. Maybe they talked about it a little too much back then, right? I know people who would just, you know, always want to talk about war, warfare, warfare. And they'd be rebuking everything in sight, right? yeah, I tried that. It didn't work for me. I was like, eh. But the reality, the fact that when God gives you a word, and even in the parable of the sower, it said, you know, the crows and the birds of the air are going to come and try to steal that seed. When God gives us a word and we realize that we do have a calling and we do have a purpose and we do have dreams, the enemy is going to do everything in his power to try to prevent you from fulfilling that thing. And warfare is not something that I go looking for at all. And that's the difference between, I think, some of the mentality that maybe the church had 20, 30 years ago. It felt like, I mean, you remember that? Like, people who were just, like, looking for warfare. They'd wake up and, like, I remember this guy even, he had a song he would listen to, and it was called Warfare. And he would talk about warfare. The guy would talk like that. I was like, huh, interesting. But the reality of the fact that there is an enemy of our soul who wants to destroy us in every form possible. And the most obvious place that he can usually reach us is in our hearts. Warfare will come. Tam? Hey, you can take her back. All right. Warfare is going to come whether we like it or not. And so what do we do in this? We prepare for the war. How do we prepare for the war? I think one of the most obvious ways is through worship. The enemy hates worship. By the way, the worship was wonderful this morning, wasn't it? Amen. Worship prepares us for the battle. Sorry. Daddy gets distracted. Daddy brain. Joel 3:9, if you'd throw that up. Yeah. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Now, whether you're a man or woman, just say, God has made me for the warfare. God has made me for the warfare. He equips us, right, with the armor of the Spirit, the shield of faith. That's another song we sing, you know. Ready for the battle, ready for the battle, ready for the battle, ready for the battle. I got the shield of faith. That song was actually a little bit better. Yeah, I think you used to sing that, right, Ray? Yeah. God has actually prepared us for the war if we're willing to take on the armor that he's given us, right? And this, again, speaks to the fact that we can't be passive in our mindset. So when the enemy comes a-knocking, and he will come a-knocking, we don't have to go get saved again. Right. We don't have to go repent to where we feel like, I don't feel guilty, so I know I can go into God's presence, right? We're ready for it. We're like, God, I'm ready for whatever comes my way. Yes. Because the best defense is offense. Mm-hmm. It's moving forward. Do you notice how, like, when the armor of the Spirit is being described, there was never anything described for the back? Right. It's because we're not ever to show our enemy our back. And they did that on purpose by design when they designed armor. You're going to turn around, you're going to very likely be hit by something. So we advance in the kingdom of God, right? God said he will surround you with favor like a shield. I never understood that. Favor like a shield? But the shield is the very thing that causes and protects me when I'm moving forward. So his favor will allow you to keep advancing in his kingdom toward your calling, toward your purpose. And he's like, I'll absorb the blows for you. I'll absorb it so you don't have to. Next scripture, Ephesians 6:13. I kind of got into that a little bit. Yeah. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand. Psalm 144:1 says this. Basically, you have trained my hands for war. Meaning God will teach us how to fight, and my fingers for the battle. So this is David saying this, and yet David, himself in 1 Chronicles 21, he ignored that. Because it says, in the time of spring, when kings were meant to go to battle, what was he doing? No, he wasn't sleeping. He was up on a rooftop being like, look at Bathsheba. Yeah. He was not doing what he was supposed to be doing, which was he was supposed to be leading people in a battle. Right. Instead, he went down a wrong path that caused him a lot of trouble in his kingdom. All right. The third preparation that I feel that we're supposed to is we are supposed to prepare for Jesus. Yeah. Prepare for Jesus. Isaiah 40:3 says this, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. A highway for our God. You and I have a personal responsibility at some level to prepare a way for the Lord. It begins in our heart with the preparation of our heart, right? But it also means to our community, to the place where God has planted us, we have the ability through His Spirit to create a highway, which means basically a smooth passage for God's kingdom to enter in. So what does that look like? Again, I'm a firm believer that like I don't want to go outside of what God has said, but I also invite heaven to occupy my life every day. Heaven, I invite your occupation, and wherever I go, let me bring that occupation with me. Let me prepare the way of the Lord in my life. I even pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done in my world as it is in heaven. Because each of us have kind of a world into ourselves, don't we? I remember I was in Toronto, and these British guys were complaining about, like, it was the World Series, and they're like, the World Series, that's some nerve. Talking about the World Series, meaning he's saying it's just, you know, taking place between us and Canada and North America, basically. But I was like, what about the world of Beatrix Potter, right? We're talking about the world of American baseball. We're not talking about the giant world. So each of us have a world that we occupy and that we can influence, and that's what God is talking about here. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my world as it is in heaven. Not my will be done, but your will be done, Lord. Matthew 25, and I will paraphrase because I'm going to wrap this thing up here in just a minute. It's the parable of the virgins, right? How many virgins we have? No, don't raise your hand. Sorry. It's funny, though, the usage of virgin in this. If we understand it in a spiritual sense, it means untouched by the world, of which we all can and should be, spiritually speaking. God can make us spiritual virgins again, where we once were lost in our sins, but now we are clean before Him. But He differentiates the, and it's obviously they're waiting for the king to come and for the marriage to begin. So the metaphor is very clear, right? Jesus' return. And He commends the ones who were prepared throughout, meaning they took enough oil with them that if the duration is long, their lamp is not going to go out. And I think that's the other part of this, preparing for Jesus, is to make sure we always have enough oil to last the battle. I don't want to run out of gas, you? I don't want to run out of oil. So how do we do that practically? We just say, Lord, fresh oil from the throne, fill me. Fill me, Lord, with your fresh oil. Help me to be a wise virgin waiting for your return, prepared for your return. And the last scripture is Isaiah 40, verse 31. I said this again, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. If you look at the scripture, there's nothing passive about that waiting, is there? They wait and they renew their strength, right? They mount up with wings like eagles. They run and will not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's God's ultimate reality for us. Yes, you might be in a gap year. Yes, you might be in a time of waiting for God to fulfill things. But the best thing you can do is stay in a place and try to discern, God, what are you trying to do in me? What are you preparing my heart for? And what is my part in this preparation as well? Preparation takes faith because we only prepare ultimately for what we expect. Everybody stand up. Put your hand on your heart. Wesley, I'll take some ivory if you don't mind, sir. I'll be honest with you. Preparation is not easy. And why most people, we try to avoid it is because it's not fun. We want fulfillment, right? But if we're going to last in this game, in this battle, it's very essential that we let the Lord prepare our hearts. So whatever place you're in, put your hand on your heart. And let's just say, Lord, prepare our hearts, Lord God. Thank you, Father. I just pray a preparation, Lord God, for each and every one of us, Lord God, that you would remove the stones from our heart, Lord God, the thorns from our heart, the shallowness from our heart, anything that is preventing the seeds of heaven from taking deep root and growing and producing a harvest, Lord God. Change our belief system if it comes to that, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Prepare us for the battle, Lord God. Prepare us for when the enemy does come knocking, Lord God, that we aren't going to shrink back from it, but we're going to meet our foe with your word, Lord God, and into victory. Because we were designed for victory. We weren't designed to just get beat up. And let us prepare the way of the Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. So we'll have the ministry team come up, and if anybody needs personal prayer, we are here for you. Anything? So we bless you and we thank you.